Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right. Welcome back to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. And of course, follow the new Locked On Jaguars Twitter handle at Locked On Jaguars. We'll be posting all the pod updates there, as well as any, you know, Jaguars news, stuff like that. We actually have some pretty big news to announce. The Locked On Podcast Network has officially joined the FanRag Sports Network, so be sure to check it out. We are actually going to be launching a Locked On Jaguars website where we're going to be putting all of our podcasts, as well as eventually I'd like to turn it into kind of a blog site where me, Chris, and then maybe we'll hire a couple other guys to start writing. Doing a lot of full-on Jags content. It's going to be the go-to place for you guys to get your Jags information. But I mentioned Chris. I'll go ahead and bring him back on. Chris, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people?
You can follow Chris on Twitter at Misto Cristofo. And today we have a special guest on in part of a quarterback prospect series we're doing the entire week, being the Jaguars bye week. It's not too much to talk about with the Jags. If there's any breaking news, of course, we will cover that. But for the most part, you know, it's the bye week. They're going to be relaxing, taking the week off while we are here talking at Topgolf. That's correct. Yeah, Chris was just out at Jalen Ramsey's birthday party. Chris, give us a little rundown on how that went.
I mean, it was real fun. Hung out with Jalen for most of the night. And then as the night went on, AJ Boye and Aaron Colvin came around. So I was kind of hanging out with them, and we actually came up with their new nickname for the DBs. So the official, the unofficial official name for this defensive back squad for Ramsey, Boye, and Colvin is R&B with a number one classic per Jalen Ramsey.
You heard it here first. Misto Cristofo breaking the news on the new DB squad name, R&B with a number one classic. But no, yeah, I saw pictures from that, and that had to have been a really fun time, and I wish I was born in October so I could have qualified to go.
You're not an OVO baby.
Yeah, but neither are you. You just get lucked out.
Listen, my roommate is an OVO baby.
But, we'll go ahead and get back to it. Like I said, we're going to be talking quarterback prospects this week, just because even though Blake Bortles had a pretty good game on Sunday, throwing for 330 yards, 18 for 26, and a touchdown, he's still, for the most part, as we've seen all year, holding the team back from being as dominant as it truly could be. I am one of the believers that this team could be literally 7-0, maybe 6-1, with even average at quarterback, just based on how they've performed this year all around and how easy their schedule has been. So quarterback is still a position of need. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my buddy Ryan Jackson from Twitter. He does a lot of football coverage stuff. He's a big Patriots fan, but he also works on a lot of stuff with quarterbacks and some work on running backs. So, Ryan, say what's up to the people.
What's up to the good people? First of all, Falcons fans must be real sad today. I saw your team get almost shut out. Julio Jones looking good enough, but what's up with the Falcons?
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that to be a better game, being the Super Bowl, but Sark has really started to hold the Falcons back, and everyone was really hyping him as a hire for the offensive coordinator, and he has not worked out whatsoever. So the Patriots just kind of had it their way.
Yeah, he neutered that whole offense. I was really surprised that they weren't really pushing the ball down the field. You kind of saw him go back to it against the Packers like week two, but right now it's just a mess. They should probably change that soon.
Yeah, I have a feeling that'll happen sooner than later. But you and Ryan Kieran were the ones pushing in the offseason that there would definitely be regression for the Falcons, correct?
Yeah, well, honestly,
I know Kieran was.
Oh yeah, he was all over that. I don't know. Like, I see the offense, and that's going to be something that should lead them to enough wins to get them to the playoffs. But that defense is really young, and they're pretty undisciplined, which kind of worries me. And I think it kind of makes sense that they're probably looking at a record more like 9-7, 10-6, yeah, something like that this year.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that. Yeah, there's obviously quite a few limiting factors this year compared to last. But go ahead and plug some of your content real quick, where people can find your stuff, what you do, how you got into writing about football.
Yeah, so I actually never played, but now that I'm in college, I go to Bentley University in Mass, and I started working for our school's football team, and I kind of realized I want to get more into, like, either a front office type thing or coaching in the future. So I started doing more like analytical work, because that's kind of all we do is math. So
yeah.
And I was introduced to the NEA metric, the adjusted net yards per attempt with quarterbacks. And over the summer, I was kind of thinking about how running backs kind of need something like this. So it's adjusted net rushing yards per attempt per NEA. And so right now I do a weekly breakdown, every running back that gets a carry in the NFL, kind of cover that in the metric. And there's been some pretty good games so far this year. But you can catch that on my website. It's Engage 8, and it's engage8.wordpress.com. I'm a faceless poor. I can't afford to buy WordPress Pro. it's been rough, but you know, I do a lot of that, and eventually when we get to draft season, I'm looking to kind of build off that a little more and get a little deeper into the running backs this year.
Yeah, I definitely recommend checking that out. I brought up Brian Kieran earlier. You guys have both kind of taken off this year in terms of checking out running backs and building new stats for them. And I feel like this is going to also be a really, like, innovative way to scout college guys when you go over that kind of stuff in the future as well. So definite props to you two for both, like, killing the game this year on running backs. As it stands right now, Ryan, on his Twitter handle, at this Ryan Jackson, has 599 followers. If that's the same by the time this episode publishes, you guys, all those who listen, should do him a big favor and get him well above 600. He definitely deserves it for the work he's doing. And then we're going to go ahead and get into why Ryan is here. And that is to talk Mason Rudolph. He is one of the bigger name quarterback prospects in the 2018 group. He plays for Oklahoma State, went back for his senior year, even though some people thought he would end up declaring last year. He's been a guy that I've always enjoyed watching, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched as much like 2017 film on any quarterbacks for that matter. I've been saving it until they have a lot up. What I've done is I've looked more at their 2016 film and gone over and over and over in it to be sure I can see, like, what they did so well or struggled with then, and then how they built on that as the year went on for this year. So now that we're getting into, you know, week 9 of the college season is when there's a lot of film is starting to come up, and there, a lot of teams are playing better teams, better defenses. So this is going to be giving me a better time to start watching these quarterbacks. But I mean, I do feel like I know a little bit about them as well, so I'm going to be able to give some analysis. But really, the main guy that's going to be talking about Mason is Ryan. He knows a lot about him and has studied a lot about him. Ryan, go ahead and just start telling me about Mason Rudolph and what makes him an intriguing prospect.
Sure. So he plays at Oklahoma State, which is under Mike Gundy. They kind of run a bit of an air raid style offense, and he's been pretty good in that type of area. He has, I think he's at a career high at this point, at least in his career, in terms of yardage at this point. They're about halfway through the season. He's looking probably to break a lot of his records so far. He's statistically probably the best quarterback you'll see at the D1 level that's draft eligible this year. Obviously, you kind of see guys like Lamar Jackson that are just putting up ridiculous numbers, but Rudolph has a lot of people around him in the offense that are good, unlike Lamar. His yards per attempt and adjusted yards per attempt are career highs right now. He's gotten better every year. He got a couple starts in 2014 as a freshman, actually, and he replaced, I think it's J.W. Walsh, who just graduated, I think, a year or two ago. He actually played against Washington in their secondary in 2014 as a freshman. He completed 65% of his passes, 2 touchdowns as a freshman. If you remember Buda Baker's interception, it was like some Odell-type catch. But
I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was wild. Against that secondary, he put up pretty good numbers for someone as young as him. But every year, he's gotten a little more to do in the offense from Gundy. He's put together pretty solid numbers. He's helped out a lot by his receiver, James Washington, who should be a top draft prospect this year as well, because that guy catches everything that comes towards him. Wild. But
people have said, because I know some people are high on Rudolph as a prospect and some not, that Washington is really good at bailing Rudolph out. Is that something that you see, or is it more just that they have a really good connection?
I would definitely say that Washington will bail him out a lot. I think the major flaw in Rudolph's game, whether it's, I don't know if it's a mechanical thing or it's just something he does, is that a lot of his passes come off really high. And James Washington is 6 feet tall, but he has an incredible catch radius. So he's really helping him out a lot. And they have guys like, they used to have Blake Jarwin, who just graduated at tight end. And they had Marcel Aitman and, I forget his first name, McCleskey, number one. And they all do a lot for him.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, everyone talks about James Washington, like I said, whether it's bailing him out or not. But he's definitely getting the deserved hype. Like you said, his catch radius is pretty insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, if you had anything, go ahead and hop right in.
Talking about his strengths, kind of now going to the criticism side, where do you think he can improve his game to really kind of help his draft stock?
Yeah, kind of like right there when we were talking about Washington bailing him out. His major problem is his accuracy. Like I said, I don't know if it's a mechanical thing. Like, he looks pretty mechanically sound on the field, but a lot of his passes will come off really high. Mm-hmm. And, it's hurt him a couple times this season. He's actually at 4 interceptions right now. And when they played Texas Tech earlier in the year, he threw a pick six in the first quarter, overthrowing Washington. And a lot of that should be fixed. Aside from that, a lot of people criticize his play under pressure. I haven't really seen anything that warrants that criticism. He generally knows when to tuck and run. And he's safe with the ball, aside from overthrowing his receivers at times. But yeah, those are probably the two biggest knocks on him.
No, I've always thought that he had a presence. And I know some, he's not like the most escapable quarterback. Like, he's not obviously blazing speeds or anything. We don't see him running the ball too often. But at the same time, like you said, he knows when to tuck and run if he needs to. I've actually got a clip up here right now where he was, because I pulled up an old review I did, it was a play action out of the gun. He was able to twist and dip away, end up getting a little dump off, pass out without ever setting his feet, and it ends up extending for a first down. It's he's able to make like these basic plays, and I think that's what a lot of people have said too, is that he makes the basic throws. But at the same time, like, if the basic throws are the NFL throws, then what are we judging, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And actually, if you watch more of Texas or Oklahoma State's offense, it's not very common, but there are times where they've used him on read option plays. There's one I watched today where they use him and Justice Hill in the read option. He actually ran in the red zone for a touchdown, and he's done that a couple times, whether it's just scrambling or design runs. But he is pretty athletic for someone his size. I think he's 6'5", 230 pounds.
Yeah, he's a bigger dude. That's right around the size that Bortles was when he came out.
Not good.
Definitely, especially if they're mobile, but not good if your name is Blake Bortles.
Exactly.
What do you think his, in terms of scheme, or even if you have any teams on your mind, like a solid fit for Rudolph?
Yeah, so I think he would be best suited on a team that can have receivers that kind of mask his problems if this accuracy thing will kind of continue at the next level. So I think a really good place for him would be the Giants when Eli's gone. If the Jaguars keep Allen Robinson, I think that'd be a really good fit too. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald's probably retiring. We're probably going to see Carson Palmer move on, but I think at least the style of offense run in Arizona, he would be a pretty solid fit.
I can see that. And actually,
Yeah, I like that.
I hadn't even thought about the Giants. I actually think I like that one a lot.
Yeah, they drafted Davis Webb, and I think Mason Rudolph is what people wanted Davis Webb to be, this tall, kind of athletic guy that can make throws. And Rudolph doesn't have like a super powered arm, like he's not going to be making Rodgers throws, but
Right.
he's good enough to get the deep ball down. And I think him and Odell would be a really good fit.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed about Rudolph is that people say he has a noodle arm, and like I get it 'cause his arm he doesn't put like Baker Mayfield
They
or
said
Lamar
that about
Jackson zip on a
Watson
ball.
too,
Yeah.
so.
Like he doesn't put the zip on the ball that some of the other guys do, but that doesn't mean he can't like hit the deep ball. Like he
Yeah, I
was that play
mean,
that one against Pitt last year where he like just barely, it seemed like he overthrew, but really he ended up hitting Washington in stride. Like Washington extended just a little bit, but it was like the first play of the game. I don't know if you remember that one. It was like 91 yards.
yeah, that game was real nice for James Washington. If I know that I kind of talked a little bit about the Patriots before, but if you watch Tom Brady throw deep balls now, obviously, I don't think Rudolph has the same speed, but I think like in terms of trajectory and things like that, he kind of throws a very similar ball. Maybe not as accurate, obviously,
Right.
but yeah, he's
Right.
got enough to put the deep ball down there.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and I know that some Jaguars fans have kind of talked about the Bill Parcells rules for quarterbacks and how Tom Coughlin might follow that. And if you look at Mason Rudolph, he fits all of them perfectly. He's a senior now. Obviously, he's slated to graduate. He's been a 3-year starter for the team, and I think they need 23 wins, and he's
Yeah.
at 26 right now.
Yeah, that's something
Yeah,
definitely to
I.
keep in mind, Jaguars fans. I know Matt Hoffman has mentioned it a lot all over Twitter. Obviously, Coughlin, he has in the past at least worked under the Parcells like guide to scouting a quarterback, and I don't know all the specifics to it, but yeah, you just named a couple being a senior, I think 23 wins. On pace to graduate, all that kind of. I don't know exactly. I've never read into it. Like that's in a book, right? Like I'm fairly certain. Like that's how you guys found out about it.
Yeah, he talked about it, I think, in like the 90s or something like that. And I'm pretty sure it's just those four rules, but he might have gone a little more into it. I don't read, but I'm assuming he probably got a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't read too much either, so that's why I'm a little out of the loop. But I know like of it at least. So if that's something that people want to research in their free time, feel free to. That might be something you want to keep in mind come the off season when they're looking for a quarterback, Coughlin's quarterback.
I mean, I can say that at the beginning of the year, I was a Mason Rudolph stan, and I still would be very happy if they took him. I've kind of shifted
Yeah, me too.
gears towards another quarterback that's a little more catching my eye, but we'll save that for when that podcast comes around. But yeah, Mason Rudolph, his game isn't like very flashy like a bunch of other quarterbacks, but I think his game is safe, which I think is something like the Jaguars. Is something that they need. They don't need really flashy. They just need somebody who's safe and can just make the throws.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
why I think he'd be a really good fit in Jacksonville, is he's not going to be someone who turns the ball over so many times throughout the season. He's really the safe and I guess like trustworthy kind of quarterback.
And that's exactly what they're looking for. That's the
Average. It's
thing. Like,
just
that's.
average.
Because some people will say like, "Oh yeah, Mason really isn't that flashy of a quarterback." And my retort is, "Okay, but Bortles was as a prospect, and that's what you guys wanted last time, and it didn't work." So, like, you go with the safer guy, even if he doesn't make all these great NFL throws or anything. But if he can just be average, I mean, we all say it. Like, what would this team be with an even average quarterback right now?
Yeah, and honestly, if you spend 4 years with Blake Bortles, you deserve a safe quarterback.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he kind of has a limited amount of upside. Like, he can bring a team with a really good defense and a really good supporting cast to a Super Bowl, if that's something you guys are interested in. Doesn't seem like it. But yeah, I think he's a safe bet, and people might shy away from him because of that, when in reality, he's probably the best bet you'll get at the quarterback position this year.
Yeah, that was something I did last year when people were talking about John Allen versus Solomon Thomas as a prospect for the Jaguars, because it was talking about who had the higher floor and who had the higher ceiling. And I'm personally a floor guy for a team like Jacksonville, at least in the past, that has definitely been shaky in terms of roster management. So if you can get those high floor players over a guy with so much potential, but also a really low floor, like Blake Bortles, then I'd take the safer bet. So at the start of the year, Mason was my number one guy. He's still def I think he's top three for me right now in terms of a guy that I want the
For
Jaguars getting
Jacksonville.
for Jacksonville. I'm not doing like full quarterback rankings. Just more like team specific ranking it with the Jags. I think he's number three right now. Chris's guy, Baker Mayfield, and also Lamar Jackson are kind of like my 1A and 1B. So, but Mason is definitely someone that everyone needs to keep in mind going forward.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think right now I put together some rankings for now, but I want to solidify them after the season's over. Right now I have Lamar as one, Rudolph as two, and then I think it's either Mayfield or Rosen as three, actually, because these are I've been really unimpressed with this class. I know you kind of see a lot of the big media people saying, oh, wait till next year. There's going to be Josh Allen, Sam Darnold. You're going to love this class. And those
And
are
now they're dying.
probably,
Now they're
yeah.
dying on the Josh Allen Hill.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
The names that I never liked have actually been bad, so like was never a fan of Darnold, never a fan of Josh Allen. Josh Rosen I gave a lot of shade towards the beginning of the year, and then I actually kind of watched him play and he grew on me. Still not one of my favorites, but he's a lot better than what I was making him out to be compared to the other quarterback prospects.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen is, I don't even want to get into it really,
He's
but
not
he's not who people want him to be.
he's not a prospect at this point.
He's a
I think
project.
tweet that at some point.
Oh,
He's
some guy.
not an actual quarterback prospect right now.
Someone went off on Miller today, and I forget. I think it was literally just like an egg ABI that was like, yo, Josh Allen, why are you considering him a quarterback? He's clearly a tight end prospect, and I'm dying.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense. I don't get it, dude. Like, this whole thing with Miller has gotten to a point where it's weird.
Yeah, he's been getting so aggressive fighting against the Lamar hype, and it makes no sense. Like, you watch him, you watch really any of these other quarterbacks, and it's so clear how Josh Allen's not even like a top five prospect, top five quarterback in this class, and getting to the point where he might be the second worst I've watched this year.
Second worst.
USF Quinn Flowers, I don't even, I don't know. He's bad. He's really, really bad.
I knew he had hype to start the year. I haven't heard his name since.
Yeah, I heard it, I think, in like August or July or something like that. So I figured I'd watch a couple, and he is awful. He is so bad.
Do you have really anything else to add on regarding regarding Mason?
I mean, we kind of, to me, all my kind of general questions about him have been answered. We discussed kind of his scheme fits. We kind of, a lot of the things that I kind of like about Mason Rudolph were kind of discussed. Like, he doesn't really have a high full or high ceiling, but he also has a decently high floor. So they're almost, Mason Rudolph might be one of the only prospects I've seen that's had almost an equal floor to ceiling. I feel like he's just like right there at like average to good quarterback. And like I said, for a team like Jacksonville, could be perfect. That's all I'd want in a quarterback. I mean, obviously, as a fan of the game, somebody flashy like Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson obviously draws the eye candy. But also, Jags fans are completely okay with having Alex Smith, who I think would probably be a decent pro comparison to Mason Rudolph.
Mm. Yeah, that's actually, I was thinking about that earlier today. I think Alex Smith is a really good comparison. Aside from the fact, obviously, we've seen the Chiefs change their offense a lot this year. But if you look at Rudolph's style of play and Smith, if you mix some of his earlier years, as in like years past, and then this year, if you find a healthy blend of that, I think that's what Mason Rudolph would bring to a team.
I think Alex Smith in its like prime is Mason Rudolph's ceiling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Which is something, as a Jags fans, I'm sure many Jags fans are, because they want to sign him in the offseason, we'd be okay with.
Yeah, I'm so confused about people falling in love with training for Eli Manning this year.
I'd rather tank with Blake than...
Yeah, at this point, you might as well just ride it out and then switch it up at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm still upset that they let Brandon Allen go. So what does that tell you? I wish they'd make a move, and I actually would have been fine with Eli, because at least you tried. But at the same time, you couldn't have given up more than, like, the highest draft pick you could have done is a third. You can't convince me anymore. Because, I mean, and with this team, and like with another team, a third would be too high, but with this team, like, how many needs do they really have to address right now?
Mm-hmm.
Where you could maybe give up that third if it meant, like, you tried, and if it worked, it worked.
Yeah, I think we always say this every year, but the Jaguars seem to be in a really good spot to contend maybe next season, but they have to do everything right, and as we've seen recently, they generally don't. So I don't know, if you're banking on Dave Caldwell to make the right decision, I'd probably hedge your bet, but
are trying to now say that he's a good GM after everything he's done, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, he had a very good offseason this past offseason. I'll give him that credit.
And how much of that could be accredited to Coughlin?
And what did he still miss on?
Yeah, I mean, next draft, I think if they address quarterback, obviously, first, and then if you can find someone that plays either right tackle or, like, a guard position, that'd be really good for them.
Oh, I strongly believe that two rounds, they need to go quarterback, guard in some order, whether it's, someone like Quentin Nelson in the first and Will Greer in the second, or vice versa, or we're talking any of these quarterbacks in the first and then a guard. And I won't bother with any guards' names other than the first one that I've ever been told, Quentin Nelson, because I haven't watched any other guards. I don't plan on watching any guards until, like, Wednesday before the draft.
There was one guy that I've been watching Georgia a lot this year, and I kind of fell in love with Isaiah Wynn. I think he's playing left guard now, but he's played all across the line, and I've been, like, pining for him on the Patriots. It'd be a perfect fit.
What's his projected kind of grade right now, kind of his value?
Oh, I have no clue. I think he'd probably be, if you look at, like, Shaq Mason, Trey Jackson, like, those type of people that they've drafted before, kind of like a third, fourth round range around there. He's pretty versatile. He's a little light, but I think he's a good pick. Also, Cam Robinson was OT1, and nothing will ever change that. He was a perfect pick in round two for the Jaguars.
And he's playing like an OT1. Good news, kind of jumping to Jags news, after Cam Robinson's scary injury against the Colts, had an MRI and an X-ray this morning. MRI was clean. X-ray came back negative, so he just has a sprained ankle, which is best possible scenario for Jags fans. And now he has the rest of the week and the bye week to rest up and hopefully be back against the Bengals on the 5th.
That is a giant sigh of relief for the Jags fans. Because, yeah, like, you heard me. I said this on the last podcast. We were at B-Dub's Buffalo Wild Wings. And at first, when I saw the replay, I thought he was done for the year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, he couldn't put any weight on it. It was definitely scary. But then it was kind of, yeah, just hearing that news this morning, waking up to a Rappaport tweet that it was all good. It was a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of rookies come in with injuries this year. Obviously, the Robinson thing this past week.
We've seen
Malik Hooker just went down. Miles Garrett took some time to get on the field. My child Derek Rivers is out for the year. A lot of people have been out, which is kind of surprising to me. But
not even just rookies, just like everybody, like Jason Peters, I'm pretty sure, just tore his ACL in the Eagles game. Don't want to speculate, but they had to take him out on an air cast.
Oh, that's terrible.
So that's, you lose Joe Thomas and Peters in back-to-back days to possibly season-ending injuries.
Imagine playing over 10,000, 600 snaps, and then it all goes down the toilet with a triceps tear and you're done.
at least you got that record. And I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive for the first offensive lineman ever. So
I do agree.
I'm more sad by the fact that he spent 10,600 snaps with the Browns. That has to be a record.
Yeah,
too.
That's true.
Imagine that.
Joe Thomas deserves to be traded to a Super Bowl contender just so he can get a ring.
He's gonna retire.
He should.
But I guess that'll pretty much do it for us then, right? Anything else that you guys want to add on?
Definitely get Ryan to 600. Seeing him at 599 is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, you 700.
I don't know if I even deserve 599, but you guys are so gracious enough to follow me and listen to me complain about how the Patriots are only winning by 14 instead of 21, and then read some of my running back articles, would be much appreciated.
Yeah, be sure to give him a follow at This Ryan Jackson on Twitter. Ryan, thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
And that will do it for today's episode of the Locked On Jaguars podcast. Be sure to tune in with us tomorrow. I believe we are going to have Mark Schofield on. It'll either be him or my buddy Philippe from Jags Twitter. Either way, we're going to have a really great quarterback mind on to talk the next quarterback prospect on our list. So until then, we will be sure to check us out on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review, follow the Locked On Jaguars handle, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.